session. We anticipate that most of that time is going to be devoted to questions. So you came in late, so you have to come and sit in front of the class. So please make yourself comfortable. And with that, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to you all. So welcome.
Welcome, yes. Next slide. So let's talk about the goals of this evening. First is to provide information on what BCE's NIM policy is and why the board of directors put a hold on it and why we are considering making changes. We're going to talk about and share with you the changes that we are thinking of making. But the main reason is, for this evening, the main goal is to get your input. Does it make sense? Do you have questions? What works? Do you really like it? Do you have some other ideas? So those are key goals. I do want to emphasize one really important thing, though, and I hope all of you will understand this. One of the key goals and criteria that the board is going to be looking at, staff is going to be looking at, and the advisory committee is the need to balance between what is customer convenience and cost and the impact on BCE resources, including administrative and financial. And it's a real balance because we want you to be happy. We want you to be part of BCE as a NAM customer, but we also have a financial fiduciary responsibility to BCE to resource-wise. So anything that we're looking at, we're going to balance those two criteria. So I'm going to turn it over to Jim, who's going to spend some time explaining how we got to where we are and where we're maybe thinking of going. And I would, if it's all right with all of you, if you can hold your questions until the end, unless it's something for clarification. If something is really, really not clear, then raise your hand and ask Jim. But otherwise, we'll take questions at the end, if that's okay.
Wait, thank you all for coming. I'm really thrilled at the turnout. And so I want to go through this and give you a little bit of background of how we got to where we are today, and then look at some of the decisions that we're trying to make at this point. That should be a little better. Okay. And we definitely want your input. This is not a finished product at this point. These are proposals, and you are the customers that are showing the interest to come out here to the meeting and provide input to us. And so looking at the slides here, we went through a lengthy process to develop our NIM policies. We looked at what the other community choice aggregators were doing. We got input from our advisory committee. We made the information available to the public. And eventually the board of directors of Valley Clean Energy approved what we have today. And the main points of what we have today are monthly billing, and a true-up in April, one date. And what you are used to as net energy metered customers is an annual true-up, and the date varies across the entire calendar year depending on when you put in your system. And so what we offer in our current policy that differentiates this from PG&E is if you're an excess generator, we offer an additional penny per kilowatt hour compared to PG&E. And the policy was approved by the board on February 8th. So if you look at the next slide, you'll see kind of what some of the other community choice aggregators are doing, and you can see what they offer. And you can see that most of them have an April true-up date and offer something very similar to what we offer with monthly billing. I don't really have a lot more to say about this. I think there's 18 community choice aggregators in California right now that are operating. And I think we were the 12th or 13th start operation. And so they're really coming online very quickly. But after we had the policy in place for a while, we got feedback from the solar community. And someone pointed out an issue to us about our policy. And they raised concerns that customers on the first year of service with Valley Clean Energy might pay more than they would under PG&E. And so we went back, and you know, actually, I was on the phone with one guy for a long time, and I'm thinking, no, this can't be right, or you know, this is, it's got to true up in some way. And I'm on the phone with him right in January, February, March, you know, the whole year, and I'm putting down numbers and everything. And eventually, I'm looking at it, going, he's right. There's the possibility that some of our customers might pay more during the first year under Valley Clean Energy. And so we decided to take a look at it. We went back and we looked at our existing policy. And then we said, well, what if we looked at monthly billing, but we let people keep their true up date, and there were some issues with that. We looked at some hybrids of those models, and then we went back, okay, what's PG&E doing? Let's look at that, and it's, you know, annual billing, true up date, you know, when you installed your system. So here's what it looks like. Let me see if I can get the pointer to work here. Yes, it does. So in this example, if you go to September, you can see that they true up on an annual basis, this particular customer, and they owe $100. And when they pay their $100, they're basically at a zero balance at that point. Now, if they were joining with VCE, they would end up paying monthly. And so in this particular case, you see them paying, you know, $50, $100, and eventually by the time you get to the true up date in April, they have paid a lot more than $100. And the thing is, in year two, they'll be kind of on an even cycle, and you'd be kind of equivalent to what PG&E is doing. But it's only in that first year where they pay more. And so that's what costs to go back and look at the policy. I would take any clarifying questions on that. This is not always, you know, a quick understand on that one. Yes, sir.
For rental properties, the James Model lease truth rolls over in August. And
so, did you catch that?
Yes.
And I have rental customers with PV that would like to have the true up aligned with the lease.
Okay. I don't see that as a problem.
And those are the kinds of unique situations that we definitely want to hear about. We may not have an answer tonight, but we'll factor those in the mix when we're evaluating and trying to figure out what to do.
Yes, sir.
Could you please explain true up when you're talking about that? I've never heard that
term. Oh, okay. Well, PG&E doesn't bill you except one time in a year. And if that one, well, it depends. You can be on a monthly billing too. You have the option. You might be on a monthly billing cycle with PG&E, or if you're on an annual cycle, there's what they call an annual true up. So if your true up date is, in this example, September, then that's when they figure out what you owe or what they owe you, depending on whether you're a net generator or a net user. So you may be on a monthly billing cycle. Of the 7,000 net energy meter customers, approximately 700 of them are on the monthly billing cycles.
Does that help?
No. Are you talking about that? You were talking about generators, so you're talking about solar customers?
Yeah, you're a solar customer, and so you have a generation system on your roof. And most of the solar customers get billed one time per year from PG&E. Yeah,
all electricity, and it applies if you have rooftop or on the ground solar that meets the criteria for net energy metering, which is basically your system doesn't generate more than you're actually your household is using. And for PG&E, once a year they kind of balance how much you use, how much your system put out, and they true it up.
What kind of clarification on that? PG&E won't pay you anything,
PG&E won't pay you anything if you generate excess.
Yeah, the policy should have changed. They should pay you wholesale. It winds up being a little less than 3 cents. It's like 2.7 cents. And that happened fairly recently, you know, a year or two ago.
Why don't we continue, unless you have a question.
I do. Will VCE be offering the monthly billing option?
Yes.
Yes.
We'll get that.
But let's hold off until we get to what the options are.
Okay, so then we looked at the PG&E model, and you know, basically, here it is. It's once a year true up. If you have, you get one bill, an annual bill, once a year true up, and you keep your true up month. And so if we had a policy similar to that, when you transition to Valley Clean Energy, it would be a very smooth transition. You wouldn't even notice the difference. And for excess generation, you'd get an extra penny. And whether you notice that, I don't know either. So that's what the situation would be.
Right now, PG&E has a monthly charge.
This is a clarifying question. Yeah. Otherwise, let's go ahead. And, okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and go through.
Right now, PG&E has a monthly bill up for the meter charge. It's about $9 a month. Yeah, that's paid independent. That's one question. Is that still going to be there?
Can we hold that until?
Okay.
Yeah. Some of this may get answered.
Okay. Then the other one is that if there's a right now I'm a net generator in summer months, and so what happens with Valley Energy?
Okay. Let's hold off until we get to the end, and some of that may be answered in Jim's discussion.
So we went to the board of directors. We realized that there was an issue here, and we said, look, we need to postpone enrolling solar customers with Valley Clean Energy so we can fix these problems. We have time to get public input, and we have time to bring some new recommendations to the board of directors. So at the last board meeting, the board approved delaying enrolling new customers with Valley Clean Energy. And they also said that we should go out into the community and do workshops, which is exactly what we wanted to do. So the policy amendment concepts that we're looking at we're proposing is that we stay with your existing true-up date and we go to annual. So in other words, you wouldn't see any change in the transition from Valley Clean Energy to PG&E. However, there is a caveat. There are about 700 customers that owe Valley Clean Energy or owe PG&E over $500 at the end of the year. And we propose to put those customers on monthly billing and retain their existing true-up date. And what that means to them is they'll still pay the over $500, whatever their balance is, but they'll do it more on a monthly basis rather than all at once. We're also proposing that we can the commercial and agricultural customers can come and talk to us if they owe over $500, but the residential customers over $500 would be mandated to be on monthly billing. And I'll show you some of the reasons for that. For existing Valley Clean Energy customers that are with us right now, and they install solar this year, so in other words, they're kind of off cycle, at this point, we have no choice but to put them on our existing policy of monthly billing and a true-up in April, because that's the policy we have in place. And it's going to take us time to get the other billing infrastructure and things in place, and that's why we're shooting for January 1 to bring in existing new customers. So those that come in this year that are existing Valley Clean Energy, we're not proposing to shift them back to PG&E. We're proposing to retain them, but we're also looking for alternatives. Is there some way maybe we have to do manual billing or something like that to put them on an annual cycle so it'd be more consistent with what PG&E is offering and what most of the customers do? So the next slide shows the financial impacts of Valley Clean Energy. And as Yvonne mentioned, we want to give benefits to the solar customers, but yet we have to do that within the framework of staying in business. And we are a public agency, we don't make a profit, but there is a cost for transitioning from monthly billing cycles to annual billing cycles. So we took a look at customers. If you look over here, you can see like $1,000 annually, $750, and $500. We looked at those different categories and said, what would the financial impact be on Valley Clean Energy transitioning these customers to annual and leaving some on a monthly billing cycle? And if you look at where it says all in to annual, the impact is $1.6 million. If you go down to where it says $500 annually, the impact is about $900,000. What that means is we're carrying that money, and this is like accounts receivable. The money's there, it's ours, it's just it's not in the bank. So we're carrying that money, in essence, we don't have in the bank. So that is a financial impact to us and to our running balance. So with that, I will turn it back to Yvonne.
So now is the time to ask questions, give us some ideas, reactions, and I think Mitch is going to go around with the microphone, and if you could just say your name and ask a question, and if you can be brief, that would be great, because we want to be able to have as many people as possible. And Mitch, the gentleman in the back, was the first to raise his hand. No?
Oh, we'll start back here and then go over.
Hi, this is Eamon. Why do we have a true-up at all?
The question was, why do we have a true-up at all?
Why, yeah, why can't we just be billed each month?
You can. That is one of the options. Most people like the annual billing, but some people like to be trued up every month, and that's fine. You have that option. Yeah.
And actually, we had done the equivalent. Our existing policy that was put on hold was the equivalent of a monthly true-up, but that's where we ran into the problem for some customers.
So for those of us who wish to be on that new policy now, is that an option?
It is not. The net energy meter customers are delayed until January 1. What that means is it will take the entire year for all net energy meter customers to come on to Valley Clean Energy, depending on your true-up date. So those that true up January 1 will come on January 1, and that will continue throughout the year. Those that true up December 31st will come on December 31st. So over the course of 2019, all solar customers will come on to Valley Clean Energy unless you opt out.
Yeah, and why April? Why choose that month?
We chose that month because that we felt that that would have the least impact on the customers. And also, we were looking at what the other community choice aggregators were doing, and it didn't seem like there were too many complaints from their customers. But now, under what we're proposing now, it would be your existing true-up date would stay. We wouldn't be going to April if we make these changes.
Hi, my name is Karen, and something similar to this occurred with the gas, and then there were these extraneous transmission charges, I mean, like, way high.
Yeah.
Like, every unit of gas you use, they were charging a lot of money.
Yeah.
Is something like that going to happen with this?
Well, I don't see that happening on our end. I'm not sure what PG&E will do, because we're basically tied to PG&E rates. Whatever rates you're on, that's the rate you will continue to have. And then we offer a 2.5% discount on the generation portion of your use, and then a penny per kilowatt hour for your excess generation. I don't see that PG&E could easily make a charge like that, because that would be punitive, and it would have to go before the Public Utilities Commission through a public process, but we can't guarantee what will happen.
Say you don't opt out, do you have that option
to opt out? Yes, you have the option to opt out at any time.
Hi, I'm Dick Bourne. I'm thinking about the stress that's created for all of us and CPAs, especially for our annual tax day true-up on April 15th. I'm curious about the advantages of putting everyone in the same true-up month. It seems like spreading them out might be easier and more efficient.
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for that. I mean, I think from an administrative perspective, it may just be easier to do everybody at one time. But that was the existing policy. Mitch, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, just one quick point of clarification on that. We ended up with that date in April because that's the time of year, based on information we've received from SMUD, who has a bit of experience in this, but that's the time of year when customers are most closely balanced on average. So that's really why we landed in April. That's also true of most of the other CCAs that are in place offering that energy meter program. So we go right here.
Hi, have two questions. First is, we got to get two bills.
Sir.
One for gas from PG&E.
There you go.
And
can you repeat your question?
Go ahead. Yeah, two questions. We got to get two bills. One for gas and then one for electricity, or is our gas bill going to be passed through to you folks also?
A good question. I should have brought that up in the presentation. We show up as a line item on your PG&E bill, so you do not get a second bill. What you'll see is a Valley Clean Energy generation charge, and you'll see a PG&E generation deduct that should be more than the Valley Clean Energy charge.
Okay, the other question is, the assumption is that for the actual system, the connections to your houses, all the other type of things that can go wrong, PG&E is the company that we would be dealing with.
That's correct. We provide the generation to the Yolo County and our constituents. If you have an outage, you still call PG&E. So from that perspective, things don't change.
Is somewhere the other sign-up sheet maybe is going around? Because this one is filled up. Here we go. Thank you.
If you haven't signed the sign-up sheet. Right.
Mitch, wait.
Go ahead.
Hi, Peter Giannata. So my question is regarding what you just said about being tied to the PG&E pricing structures,
yes.
I'm trying to understand how it is that you're aggregating to provide sort of better overall rates. And the reason I ask is that the biggest determinant on my true up is my time of use, my billing and generation.
Yeah.
And so I've heard rumors that PG&E is going to be shifting their rate structures as a function of all the solar that's being installed, so that time of use during the middle of the day is no longer as lucrative as it is now. And so I'm just wondering what Valley Clean Energy's position is on remaining tied to PG&E rate structures or shifting them in relation to solar generation as these changes do or don't happen.
Yeah, right now we don't really have the bandwidth to set our own rates, and so we chose to follow PG&E's rates and set our generation charges basically 2.5% less than theirs across the board. So if you go on our website and look at the rates, you'll see the rate 1 through 20, and it'll just be PG&E minus 2.5, PG&E minus 2.5. So there's this minus 2.5 column, and that's what we chose. So whatever rate you're on, that's the rate you'll stay on unless you decide to call PG&E and say you want to be on a different rate. And yes, I understand what you're saying about the time of use rates changing. As more people install solar, they adjust the peak times to later in the day when there's less solar generation. And that's something that we don't control. Does that answer your question?
Okay, and nor is it planned or part of the BCE charter mission to mess with that in any way?
We have rate-making authority. When we're going to exercise that, I don't know. I wouldn't guess for at least a couple of years just to kind of get on our feet and get things running and pull up and operating.
One other real quick comment on that, too. Part of the reason why we structured the rates that we, as Jim mentioned, one of the values that CCA program provides is the local control, local rate setting. We wanted, especially at launch, for there to be an apples-to-apples comparison, so people could easily see what happens between PG&E and us. So that's part of the reason why we haven't really kind of monkeyed around with the rates too much. But going forward, you can see a room full of people talking about NEM. If we then go back and start to sort of play with rates a little bit, it's not an uncomplicated thing. So, but that's not to say that it couldn't happen going forward. So we have a question here, and then I'll come over.
My name is Greg Sparks, and I am wondering about when I get my bill now from PG&E. I pay $110 a month for being my battery backup. And will that still come from PG&E, and will I still pay them, or am I going to be paying the authority for that battery backup?
If it's on your bill, you pay it as part of your bill. Is it on your PG&E bill?
It's on my PG&E bill.
Yeah, I would expect that to continue. We don't have a storage program at this point. Yeah.
PG&E still will be doing the billing. And you'll see, as I think either Jim or Mitch mentioned, all the line items that you see, and there'll be one line item starting your billing cycle in June that says VCE generation. That's us.
It'll be your billing cycle starting in 2019.
I'm sorry, I'm not a NIM customer, so that's what my bill looks like, and that's what yours will look like in 2019. Sorry.
Okay, I'm Ken Britton. I'm one of your high-dollar annual bill people. I'm getting increased solar capacity, and they're going to change my NEM from my previous one, E6, to their new standard NEM billing.
Yes.
I imagine people in this room are on a number of different schedules. And I just want to clarify, make sure I heard you correctly when you said that you will follow down whatever PG&E does, including as I change over. So this grew up when I'm joining you all. I will be changing to a new NEM. And you will just do follow that
you'll
down.
You'll get your existing rate, and you'll get a penny per kilowatt hour for excess generation.
But you will just follow up whatever PG&E does to my account.
Well, there's a couple of rates that we don't follow, and that happens to be like economic development rates, you know, special rates that they usually negotiate with a particular customer. And then there's a few like programs that we don't really offer, the super saver rate and that sort of thing. But any of their normal rates, yes, we follow those rates.
Okay, great.
And if you're not sure, give us a call and you can go through the exact rate and find out.
Mostly don't trust PG&E to do the handover.
Olin Woods, can you touched on this a little bit, but can you summarize the benefits for us now that are, I assume that we would all go on the VCE program.
Yes.
And now we're not, but in a year or so when we do, what are the advantages of VCE's program over PG&E's for those of us who are NEM customers?
Well, so I'll cover both the NEM and the non-NEM. First off, you have the local control. And so we are focused on this community rather than a broader community. You can we're public, so you can go to the board. You can actually make comments at board meetings, and so I think that's a big benefit. We also provide a higher level of green energy and carbon-free energy. Right now, our portfolio is 42% renewable and 75% carbon-free. And you can go to the PG&E website, look at theirs. I mean, they're pretty high too, but they're not as high as we are. We offer lower priced electricity, and I'm not going to tell you that's a significant number, but it is a lower price.
So that's the 2.5%.
2.5%, and for NEM customers,
that's for us too.
Yeah, yes, and the NEM customers for excess generation get an extra penny per kilowatt hour, both on a monthly basis and on an annual basis. So PG&E pays you wholesale at the end of the year if you have excess generation. We pay you wholesale plus a penny.
So a total of 3 cents.
Well, yeah. If there's 2.7, ours would be 3.7, as an example. And then lastly, we're not for profit, but at some point we're going to have, you know, excess revenues in the bank. And when that time comes, those will be reinvested in the community in some form of energy project. So that can either be, you know, a photovoltaic system, it could be energy storage, it could be energy efficiency, it could be electric charging stations, but it would be designed to serve the community. And so we're not making a profit. We're running a pretty lean ship right now. If you go over to the Hunt Boyer Mansion over here, you see the four of us in the office working away. And so those are basically the benefits of community choice aggregation and Valley Clean Energy to our constituents.
So just specifically during the peak hour, then would you be, how much less are you going to be than PG&E in terms of what we're drawing on the system? Electricity.
We're following PG&E's rates, less 2.5% on the generation side. Okay. So whatever their rate is, we're going to be less 2.5%.
And then on the production side, what we're generating from the roof.
You'll get your retail value for that you use, but for excess, you'll get a penny more than PG&E pays.
Okay, so if you're not over, if you're not in the excess mode, then you're getting what the same as PG&E.
Yeah, except for we pay a penny per kilowatt hour for excess on a monthly basis, so you will accrue a credit on a monthly basis. If you just like exceed 1 month, if you know over the course of the year.
Thank you.
This is Bill Dakin. Question on the clarification of the $500. You had the $500 people paying over $500. Is that like generation charge, or is that consumption charge, or is that total electric charge, including meter charge? What
it's the total electric, total generation charge at the end of the year. So let's just say you use 8,500 kilowatt hours at your home, but you generate 6,000. You get to the end of the year and you owe $550. We're going to put you on a monthly billing cycle. That's what it means. There's not very many customers that fall in that category. It was like 700 customers, and some of them may already be on monthly. And so we don't know the exact number of those that are on an annual billing cycle that owe over $500.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I have a quick clarification on the gentleman's question over there, Colin Anderson. I wanted to ask you about if you have a scenario where you're generating all your electricity for the year. So
yes.
On my panels, I generate, I don't get a bill from PG&E for money. I get a excess, and it's not a lot. I get the 4 cents.
Credit, yeah.
I'm unclear on how, what's the advantage to Valley Clean Energy to me, that when you're talking about the generation, because I generate as much power as I use, and I get some extra. So I understand I get the extra penny,
yeah.
But what else do I get from you? I'm unclear on that.
Well, if I read the policy correctly today, we give an extra penny on a monthly basis, so you will actually accrue additional credits that you'll get paid for.
And it'll get carried over.
Yeah, it'll get carried over, and on your annual stroke date, when we say, oh, you have excess of 500 kWh, it'll be plus 500 pennies. Plus a penny per kilowatt hour. So let's just say PG&E is paying you 3 cents per kilowatt hour. We'll pay you 4 cents.
Just one question. Will this billing system reflect solar power energy output separate from energy provided by the energy company?
You will be net energy metered.
Okay, so they won't be separate?
No.
Okay.
And if you could, don't forget to just give us your name and then your question.
Rebecca Gilpin. What about the California? What about the California climate credit that we get several times a year? Does that still apply?
Yeah.
Mark Rehizer. Are virtual net meter customers treated any differently?
Explain that one to me.
Yeah. A virtual net metering, so for apartment complexes where they have a general meter and then it's distributed on a billing basis among all the tenants?
Yeah, it would be whoever pays the bill. So if you're paying the bill, you would still get the 1 cent benefit.
So the treatment would all be the same, even for a virtual net.
There may be some unique circumstances that some of you have. We had interesting questions in the past, and it may be that we need to talk to you about it afterwards, or just to get a better sense of what the situation is to give you a full answer. I don't know whether this fits that circumstance.
And that's possible. I don't know what the relationship is with the apartment management and so forth. If you're paying the bill, you should get the credit.
Problem.
Jim Sullivan. So right now you said you have 4 people working. When you go live in January, are you planning on staffing up? Or I understand that questions are supposed to go to PG&E, but questions for you.
Well, in addition to the staff we have in downtown Davis here, we have a SMUD on contract. And so SMUD is doing a lot of the back office work. They're the ones that are going to be fixing the billing systems. They have a call center. And so we'll staff up if we need to, but we're trying to keep running lean to the extent possible.
We're going to get more staff to carry microphones around.
I've got the boss carrying microphones. It's a pretty good deal for me.
Who else had a question?
Aaron Nitzkin, and I like the simplicity of which you say anyone can switch back to PG&E at any time, but can you elaborate what that really would look like in terms of what potentially that true up? Because if we stay in this program and after 3 months we want to switch back, I could see a little chaos going on with
the, you know what? Good point, because we would we don't have the policy in place yet, but one thing we're proposing is you can only switch back on your true up date to avoid that. And then there's another thing that PG&E has. If you, let's just say you go with Valley Clean Energy and then you're with us for at least 60 days, you decide to switch back to PG&E, you'll be on kind of a special rate because they hadn't planned for your energy, and so they have to procure energy for you. And so there is a risk if you switch back to PG&E after 60 days with Valley Clean Energy. The special rate is kind of TBD. And so you take a little risk if you switch back.
Question back to you.
Hello, my name is Katie Webster. I was curious about the low income rates. Are you guys going to be using CARE, or will you be creating a separate program?
CARE customers will continue with the same rates.
We follow the med rate and the CARE rate.
Sir, please.
If our true-up is once a year, do we get the excess generation monthly or only at the end of the true-up?
Your excess generation will accrue over the course of the year, and then when you hit your true-up date, it's going to balance out between your usage and your generation. If you have excess generation, you'll get paid. If you have excess usage, you will pay.
So it's just like it is now with PG&E.
Right, and that's really what we're shooting for, is to make it seamless.
Yeah, but PG&E is still charging us monthly for transmission fees.
Yes, you'll still get your T&D fees from PG&E. And so if I was looking at the PG&E bill, there's quite a few line items on there. But the major ones are transmission, distribution, and generation, and the rest tend to be some form of taxes.
That's why we call it Pacific Graft and Extortion.
Mark Broly, will VCE continue to have the off-peak rate for charging electric vehicles?
Yes. Yes, we will. Yeah.
Peter Vasco, I presume that with this, if your current portfolio does not include enough to provide renewable energy sources, that there will be, or the question really is there going to be some encouragement for people to increase photovoltaic generation?
We want to be photovoltaic friendly, and so we encourage people to install panels. Right now, just because of our startup nature and the limited cash flow and so forth, we're kind of limited in what we can do. And so we chose a pretty modest approach, I think, at this point. That could change in the future. And another thing, we do have an ultra green product, which is a penny and a half additional per kilowatt hour to go, 100% renewable. Don't know how that fits in with the photovoltaics. We're already generating that, but it is available.
And you can opt up on the website. I did it. I was one of the first three people. We don't know exactly where I fit. But it doesn't make sense for me to install PV on my roof. I don't use enough electricity, so I opted up.
So a specialty question, Ken Britton again. How are you going to set the monthly bill for the people who have over 500 or 750? What's the basis of setting the monthly bill?
Their usage.
From the last year?
Oh, no. If we true up at the end of the year and they owe over $500, they'll go to monthly billing.
But when you're starting this out, so I'm going to be switching over in February.
Yeah.
what basis will you use to choose my monthly bill the first year?
Well, right now we have 2016 data. We're not sure. You know, we've just procured the 2017 and the most recent 2018 data. We'll do an analysis of the most recent year, and then those customers will put on automatically. Those that install new PV systems, they'll be on an annual cycle for a year, and if they come in at over $500, they'll be shifted to monthly. Image, this gentleman had a couple questions right up front that we never got back to.
You have answered one of them, but the other one was in terms of monthly credits and so on, but it sounds like you're now annual basis. But
yeah.
In terms of the generation on each month, the PG&E had a line item called net usage. Is that what that would be the basis for the monthly generation?
Net usage, that would be your basically your balance between your generation and your usage. So your net usage is either a positive number or a negative number, depending on whether you use more or generated more.
Yeah, so they have two numbers, one's net generation, the other is net usage. And
yes.
So, you know, so it's a net usage that would be the basis for the 1 cent or the...
Well, no, I'm actually not sure. I'm not that familiar with the PG&E bill to be able to know, but to me the net usage would be the balancing out your usage versus your generation. If you have a bill with you, I'll take a look at it.
So, actually, in last billing cycle, then the net usage for the month was 263, the negative 262 kilowatt hours.
Yeah, okay, your net usage. You generated more than
that. But net generation was minus 743 kilowatt hours.
Okay, so you used the difference between the 743 and the 240 or whatever it was. So you used like 500 kilowatt hours that month. And then, so you're. Yeah, but. Oh, no, you generated 700, you used 500, so you had a credit of 200.
I generated probably more than 700, you know, according what they identified as a generation.
Do you have a second meter for your PV system?
No, it's all on one system. I run anything in the house, I may run 100 watts or 500 watts at the same time I'm generating 3 kilowatts.
Yeah. When this is over, come on up with your bill. Let's take a look at it.
All right.
Okay, sir.
Yeah, I have Dean Newberry. I have a couple questions. Is there any departing load charges or other fees that PG&E is loading onto VCE?
Yes. We have what we call an exit fee, and it's the PCIA. I kind of forget what it stands for, but it's basically an exit fee. And if you sum up the exit fee plus our charges, it's still less than PG&E's generation credit. And so we factored that in when we said you're getting a 2.5% discount. So the PCIA basically pays PG&E for the energy that they've accrued for our customers at some point. This long-term contracts and things like that.
And then I have a $500 credit with PG&E. Where does that go when you guys pick me up?
You'll be trued up with PG&E before you come over to Valley Clean Energy, so you'll be zeroed out. Either they will pay you or you'll pay them, depending on where your credit is. And then you'll be zeroed out, and then you'd start with Valley Clean Energy with a clean slate.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, my name is James Dawson, and I have several questions, actually. I got here late, maybe some of them already asked and answered. But will you mirror the time of use that PG&E already has as far as E1,
yes.
E2, E3?
Yes, we mirror those exactly.
Okay. And will the baseline stay the same as far as you're given that baseline?
Yeah, baselines are the same also.
Okay, that's good. And net metering, I know it's been progressing. They've done net metering 2 now. Is that also going to track?
Yep, all the rules and policies that are in place now will continue.
Okay. And on the ultra green, where you pay an extra penny and a half for 100%, if you're over generating under ultra green, are you getting that Are you getting paid that extra wine house now? I'm not asking for that.
If you're over generating, I wouldn't suggest going on ultra green.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not exactly sure how that would work. I guess on the months that you didn't over generate, you would pay a penny and a half. It'd be a tough one.
Okay. I know this is a net metering workshop, and I missed the EV workshop if there was one. But will there be the PG&E just gave everybody a $500 credit per EV last year? Was that going to happen? Do you know
the PG&E programs are still in place. If you like replace your air conditioner, or you qualify for energy efficiency rebate, you still qualify.
Okay.
You are still a PG&E customer in addition to being a VCE customer.
Right. Great. I hope all this information gets online at some point so we can just access it easily. But thank you. Thank you very much for doing this.
One of the great things about this workshop, besides getting input on the new policy, is you're asking all sorts of good basic questions, and we will be updating our frequently asked questions on the NEM website, page of the website.
Hi, this is Chanda here. I had a couple of questions. One, you said we would be customers of both the companies. So do we now need to create additional accounts to be able to access data on your side? Because you mentioned that you went and signed up for the Ultra Green or something like that. So is it expected that all customers now have two accounts?
No. When I went to sign up for the Ultra Green, on the VCE website, the buttons are at the very top of the main page. It asked me for my address, and I think it asked me for my PG&E account number. And I plugged that in, and there it was. It was me, and I said, yes, I want to do it.
Yeah, you won't receive it. We mentioned this earlier, but you won't receive an additional bill. We show up as a line item on your PG&E bill. So you will still have your PG&E account. You will pay PG&E. PG&E transfers the money to our account.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I had another quick question. Early on, you said you were looking at moving the month-to-month customers over and potentially leaving them as month-to-month. Later in the conversation, you mentioned that as you go through the true-ups, anybody who had a true-up of about 500, you would move them to month-to-month.
Yes.
And then one of the slides showed that from a receivables perspective, that is not a good thing. So why would you want to move additional customers to month-to-month?
Well, what happens is if we put everybody on an annual billing cycle, it impacts us by $1.6 million. If we move the customers that are over $500 on monthly billing, it brings that down to $900,000. So we're seeing what the big impact is moving from monthly billing to annual billing. But by putting the customers over $500 on, we're reducing the impact of that.
Yeah, just to be perfectly clear, now everybody has three generators, PG&E, whoever owns their solar system, and you guys.
I haven't thought of that.
Well, thanks, Dean.
I'm going to look at that as a rhetorical comment.
next question is...
My name's Dave Hart. I have a question about the... If it's to your advantage to put people on monthly and there's less impact, why not just put everybody on monthly? Have that be the default? And the reason I ask that question is when I signed up, my system went in 2013, I don't recall whether I was either even given a choice. I just took, I think, the default, which I think a lot of people probably do.
Yeah.
So why not just put everybody on monthly?
Well, the initial feedback was that people wanted to retain their annual. I would really throw that question back out to the audience and say, what do people want? You are the NEM customers. Are you happy with annual billing? Would you rather be monthly billing? Because that's really why we're seeking this input.
Okay, so sort of a change bad inertia, you think, that is that why you're not proposing monthly for everyone? Just we don't want to give it
let's
pushback.
Let's be clear on this. Our policy that we put on hold was monthly billing with an April true-up. And we got feedback from some people that said, sure, fine, no problem. we got feedback, pretty strong feedback from others that said, wait a minute, this system, as Jim described it, some people are going to be out money, and they budgeted in a certain way, and it's not fair to them. So that's why we decided to take another look at this. If you decide you, let's say we, the board adopts the policy as Jim described, maybe some tweaks, and you want to stay with a monthly billing, you can ask to have that done, and that'll be fine.
Sure. I'm on annual, true. I can have it monthly.
Yes, exactly.
You could go monthly.
Okay. That's not a problem.
No, it's not a problem. Yeah, we're proposing both, in essence. So some customers will be on monthly just because their balance is high. Others will choose monthly, and others will just say, I'm happy with annual.
Hi, Marie Chapman. I have a question. If mine is over 500, but not much over 500, and I go on monthly?
Yeah. You go on monthly.
Drops down. Do I stay on monthly?
Well, what we're looking at right now is 2 years of under 500, and then you could go back to annual. Having said that, by the time you're 2 years into it, you'll probably be used to paying your monthly bill, which if your monthly bill is 500, you're probably paying for several months, but you probably have several months where you're not paying either.
Right, I'll pay
for the cycle. And you'll probably get used to the cycle and be happy with it. But if your bill remains under $500 for 2 years in a row, you can request to go on annual.
But I would have to request it. I'd
yes.
probably rather stay on monthly.
Yeah, we're not going to go out and hunt for you. You would have to request it.
But we would let you know that you have that option.
So, Dean snuck in a rhetorical comment. I wanted to do the same, encouraging people who have a surplus toward electric vehicles. If you're not anxious to run around town and find all the free charging places, if you're paying 2.7 or 3.7 cents per kilowatt hour for wholesale, that is really, really cheap transportation. So go out and buy an EV.
Thank you, Dick. Good.
That was not a plant. Question right here.
Sir? I was going to ask, my name is Alex Trappin, and I was going to ask, you mentioned that your energy generation now is 42% green.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And the ultra green, does it reach 100%?
The ultra green would be what you would purchase, and then you would get 100%, and that would be above and beyond the 42% that we procure. Because the customers are paying 1.5 cents, we would procure 100% of your energy above and beyond that 42%.
So you would take a look at the amount of energy that I use.
Yes.
And would match that from
with some renewable resource.
Okay, thank you.
Question over here.
Hi, my name is Anya Klassen. I'm a little unclear still on the website question. Right now, when I want to look at my bill, I can go on the PG&O website, I can see my electric usage, I can see my gas usage, and I can see my billing. How's that going to change after I switch over to BC?
Well, you'll still see those things.
On the PG&E side?
Yeah, you'll see those on the PG&E side, and then you'll just see an extra, I think you'll see those different, you'll see an extra line item that says Valley Clean Energy Generation.
And would I go to the BCE site for something specific? I know you mentioned that you did the additional to Ultra Green.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you could go to the website and see, you know, what's going on, but there would be actually no need to. It's pretty seamless from the customer perspective. If you never looked at our mailers and never knew we were around, you would roll over Valley Clean Energy, you'd be paying your PG&E bill, you'd never know the difference.
Thank you.
Where's the mic? Anybody else?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yes. There, and then, next. Good.
Can I opt into PCE now as an end customer?
You could, but you'd be monthly billing and an April true-up.
I already have an April true-up, so.
Good to go.
Okay, and I have a whole bunch of customers that are going to be NEMV or ENAM customers, when we bring them in, do you know what the process will be?
It would need to be on their true-up date, and so that's the thing. If people wanted to opt in under our existing policy, there's no reason they couldn't. But we were always planning to bring them in on their true-up date.
Are you talking about existing NEM or new?
New customers.
New customers.
New
customers. Put solar on.
Yeah, new customers.
We're putting the solar up now, and we'll bring them in the next month.
Yes, those customers are already Valley Clean Energy customers.
Yes.
So we will put them on monthly billing in April true-up, unless we can figure out a stopgap annual cycle.
We want to put them on monthly. I just need to know what to tell them.
Yeah. Maybe we can put them on monthly billing in an April true-up.
Okay, great.
One of the key things we didn't want to do in this is do anything to hold back new solar. So that's why what Jim just described is available for new NEM.
Over here. Right here. On the 2.5% reduction, how is that going to show up on the PG&E bills? Will you see it? Will it have the line that shows the PG&E rate?
You will see a line item, Valley Clean Energy, and that's it. You'll see one line item and one number.
So that will be invisible to us, basically, that 2.5% reduction. We won't see what we would have paid.
You won't see the 1 cent for excess generation. You won't see the 2.5%. Per se. I mean,
I would think that'd be a good selling point.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to show that? Or
because
have PG&E show that?
We are limited in how much space of the PG&E bill we can take.
We have been thinking of putting eventually something on our website where you can calculate how many kilowatts you're using, what you would have paid with PG&E, and what you're getting with DCE. But that may be a little bit down the line. But
right. I just ask you to consider that, because I do think it's a good selling point.
Yeah,
it is.
The public participation and the local control is all good stuff. Really, it is good stuff, but a lot of people are concerned about the finances.
No, right now we're happy to have the one line.
Yeah.
And if we do get a box where we can occasionally say a few words like a Twitter or something.
So one quick point on that too. I mean, it's hard to see it at the individual customer level. Some of the bigger customers, obviously, they're going to be able to see. And we've got a customer care account representative who works with some of our larger customers, agricultural, industrial, that kind of thing. So they can save a pretty significant amount of money if they can see it on a monthly basis. But what we did is we asked Smud, who's our back office consultant, and they added it all up, and over the course of a year of the 65,000 accounts plus or minus that we're serving, about $1.8 million a year stays here in Gulf County as a result of that 2.5% rate discount. So it's easier for us, and that's the kind of information that we will absolutely be putting on the website, how that sort of cycles within our local economy, the jobs that are created associated with that. At the individual level, it's kind of tough to do it. We can put up like an average, like bill, just as an information item, and we can potentially do that. But it's kind of tough to do on an individual basis because of what Jim was doing.
Michael Griffith. Can my data switch over automatically unless I opt out?
Yes.
Okay. If I think before I got the solar, I signed over to another company that was giving me a fixed rate.
So you're like a third-party provider?
I think so.
Okay.
That's one of those questions.
It was something I think I signed up for, forgot about, and then I got a notice saying that's what happened.
Yeah, see, it depends on your agreement with a third-party provider. I can't tell you, just this is the way it is with Valley Clean Energy. It kind of depends on, who's paying for the solar, who's getting the bill. I mean, you're getting the PG&E bill, right?
Yeah, it's still PG&E that I pay.
Then the credit should go to you. The benefits from Valley Clean Energy should go to you.
I'll just switch over from that other company to you.
I don't know that.
I'll find out.
That's the kind of question where if you have semi-unique circumstances, come talk to us and bring us the bill and your contract, and we can figure it out.
Just to be clear, we're not giving out legal advice.
I'm a little confused about monthly billing and a true-up. So my understanding of the monthly billing would be that we would be billed for the electricity we used in that month or did or generated.
Right.
And so why would we need a true-up?
You probably don't, unless you excess generate, because you'll be accruing credits. And so if in fact you don't have any credits at the end of the year, it'll just be your monthly bill.
a straw poll, just for fun. I'm going to ask two questions. How many of you would prefer monthly billing? No, wait. And then the other question is going to be, no, I don't want monthly billing. I want an annual true-up, just like PG&E is doing for many people. So, how many of you are comfortable and would prefer monthly billing? Okay. How many of you say, no, don't want monthly billing. I want to do an annual. Okay, 50-50. Great.
That's 75.
I'll put you in the middle ground. You're sort of betweeners.
Hello?
Question over here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Brian Aina. I came in late here, and I didn't get all the information up front, but on the letter that you provided us, you said that some of the NEM customers might pay more than they would have paid with PG&E. As a result, CE is delaying implementation of our NEM program until January 2019. Now, why is that?
Mitch, want to go back to the other slide?
Which one? That one right there. So if you look at this chart right here, this is a customer on an annual PG&E true-up, and they true-up in September, and they pay $100. Now, if they were coming up to Valley Clean Energy, they would come on at this point, and they would start paying monthly. That's our current policy. So they would pay this amount of money here monthly. And so by the time they got to April, where they were going to be truing up with us, they would have paid $400. And then they're going to start accruing credits. And after that, they're going to be on an annual cycle where they'll essentially pay $100. What happens is they never recover that $400 they paid the first year. So that was the issue. Year two, everything kind of rolls back onto a steady state cycle. But it's just the first year where there are issues, and it doesn't impact all the customers. It depends on your usage, on your annual true-up date, and you know some other factors. Some people come out okay, some people lose. And so because we realized that some people were losing and paying more than they would have normally, we thought it would be best to come back and look at the policy. And there's really not much way to recover this. This, you know, if it's significant. One example, one of the vendors gave was someone paying $800.
So would delaying into January 2019 help?
If we change the policy, yes.
So are you going to do that?
Well, that's why we're having this workshop. Okay. We're saying we're telling you what we're proposing and getting input from the public.
Okay. Yes. Hi, Marcy Nickel. I think the thing with the monthly billing or the true-up with the year, I think the reason it may be so discrepancy-wise is because it depends so much on everybody's solar generation.
Sure. Sure, yeah.
And so it would definitely really impact us to go monthly, but someone else I can see with their generation would not be as much. So, yeah, we really need to have, I think, those options.
Okay.
Question back over here.
Hi, Mike. Is there a way to average it out so you know that someone has a possible $500 bill? I'm not sure how this works, but I wouldn't want a variable bill of paying $40 a month with an annual.
Yeah, if what we're proposing right now, if you pay over $500 over the course of an entire year, that's what you'll get. You'll get the variable bill based on your actual usage. When you get credits, you'll accrue those credits, which will carry through to the months where you're using more. But at some point, if you're not a net generator over the course of the year, which if you owe $500, you're a net user, you will get variable bills.
So the way it's set right now, some people will work them, but if you knew there were going to be an average of $500, is there some way to set it up so that you divide it by 12 and just kind of give you an average and then they pay up the extra?
Oh, balance billing option? I don't know if we have that right now.
Yeah, PG&E has a balanced billing option where you can, they'll adjust every year. You can pay $50 a month or whatever the number is. Yeah.
Quick question. So when true up comes up, that's when you can opt out, or can you opt out earlier and then I have to wait until my true up comes if I wanted to opt out?
Right now it's within 30 days of opt out, but then you would be actually rolled on to either PG&E or Federal Clean Energy on your true up date. So, maybe it is 60.
Or opt out, I think it's 60.
Oh, 60, yeah, or for opting out. Now you talk about.
For the first time, no charge.
Okay, so no charge. So if like my true up date is November, and so that'd be November 2019,
yes.
60 days beforehand, that's when I could make the decision to opt out, or
60 days after that.
After that. So, but
is
so,
that right?
Well, no, let's just go back. You have to be within 30 days to opt out. The system won't allow you to opt out otherwise. So 30 days plus or minus to opt out of Valley Clean Energy in our system. Now you have 60 days to change your mind without penalty and go back. But there is a 30-day window plus or minus to opt out of Valley Clean Energy in our system. Like right now, if you're not a solar customer, you can call and opt out anytime. If you're a solar customer, you have to wait to your true up date, or within 30 days of your true up date.
Those true dates are in 2019.
That's right. And I have some NIM customers that have contacted us. I don't want to opt out. We put them in a tickle file, and then the customer service reps will, it'll pop up and they'll go, okay, opt these people out now. So, you could opt out, and we put you in a file to opt you out when the time was right, but it wouldn't happen until your true up date.
It also depends if you want to opt out before you even become a Valley Clean Energy customer, or you've transitioned over, you can opt out basically any time, but no fee within the first 60 days. And I know Mitch is going to jump in.
Well, did you understand that? Because I can follow that. Maybe.
Okay, so if I understand it correctly, it's 30 days. I can opt out 30 days before my true-up period, and then I have 60 days after, even if I don't opt out, to get out without penalty from you guys. Is that right?
Well, what happens after 60 days, you go back to that special rate that PG&E has. So if...
Yeah, so there's a transitional rate. So the 30 days before you enroll, so that, for everybody in this room, that will be on your true up date, your anniversary date. So 30 days in advance of that, you'll have the option to opt out, sort of pre-opt out. 60 days, so then you're enrolled, say on November 1st. So you'd have to the end of December to be able to opt back out, stay with PG&E, and go right back to what you had with PG&E. Okay, if you opt out after that 60 days post-enrollment, then you go on to what's called a transitional rate for 6 months. And then you go back to what you had before with PG&E. And the reason for that is because PG&E, at that point, 60 days after enrollment, they've assumed that you're a part of Valley Clean Energy. They stop buying energy on your behalf, right? So what they say is that if you want to come back to us and you don't give us 6 months notice, then you're going to pay essentially what the spot rate would be for them to go out on the market and buy energy for you, right? So they say that takes 6 months to sort of be able to normalize that, for them to be able to recover their costs, and then you're back on the same rate that you were with PG&E before you even started. So you have a window of opportunity to both opt out and to go back to PG&E as if nothing happened, and that's the 60-day post-enrollment. That's really not even any more clear, is it?
Just another clarifying question. When are you guys going to decide whether you're going to go and allow annual true-ups? Because I think people who are like I am, if you're generating all your power, I would never go on monthly billings. I'll pay.
Right.
I would pay a lot of money at times, and I'd be getting all these credits, a lot of credits at times.
Right.
So, when are you guys going to come to
the target? Is September board meeting
to make the decision. And then, do we have more questions? Because we can go to the next steps, and that'll.
So the September board meeting is when the information is going to be presented to the Valley Clean Energy Board. Whether they approve it, we don't know. We can't determine that at this point.
But then you'll make an announcement that it's going to be either monthly billing or a combination or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, but actually, it does roll right into the next steps.
Let's go to the next step. Okay, one more question.
Yeah, I'm confused. I keep hearing people saying fees and stuff. We're going to be charged fees to switch over, or what exactly is this meaning?
There are some fees for changing over. $25 for commercial, and is it 5 or 15?
Wait, just to clarify, so but is your question about enrollment, like joining the program? No fees.
Yeah.
Doesn't cost you anything. You're automatically enrolled in Valley Clean Energy. So on your enrollment date, you start enjoying the benefits of Valley Clean Energy. If you don't want that, then you can opt back out for free back to PG&E. So that's the whole discussion we just had within that 60 days.
Right. There's no exit fee. Someone says something to check with an exit fee.
So the cost is the full baked cost, all right? So there's an exit fee that PG&E charges every Community Choice Energy customer, whether you're NEM, whether you're not NEM, okay? So that 2.5% rate discount on your generation portion of your bill accounts for the exit fee, it accounts for the cost that Valley Clean Energy incurs to be able to buy energy on your behalf. So all in, 2.5% less than PG&E generation rates. So there's no fee for participating in Valley Clean Energy.
So what happens with like this young man, and he said that he generates enough for his, and so you're not using any extra. So where does your fee come from? How would you?
So you're...
Let's say I'm 100% solar, and I don't ever need to use any extra, so then how are you getting that fee?
There is none.
So then
there still is an interconnection fee, I mean, that everybody pays the same as PG&E right now, so that would not change. Okay, it's really as if you're a PG&E customer, but you're now with Valley Clean Energy, and we're paying you a little bit more, and we're charging you a little bit less. That's really kind of what it boils down
to. In answer to your question, we wouldn't make money on you, in essence, but we want to support the solar industry, and so this is one of the early benefits we've chosen to pay for, and if we have to pay a little extra for it, we're willing to do that, because we support renewable energy.
And then the next question, because I've got two different answers when I call. We are an MA account, and so I've been told by PG&E we would not be given any extra money for overproduction. But then when I called and spoke with someone at Valley Clean Energy, they said, oh, we will. And
you will see the PUC, it was either PUC or legislation that was passed that said they're supposed to pay you at least the wholesale rate. Thank you. It's a simple word. The wholesale rate for electricity, which has been around like 2.7 cents. Now I'm not sure whether that's NEM 1.0, NEM 2.0, NEM 8. Maybe you're in some other category, but you're supposed to get the wholesale rate for excess generation, and then we pay a penny per kWh more than that. And you may be in some special classification where that doesn't qualify, and I'm not familiar with what that would be.
It is that NEM A with this A, and that A makes it where they...
I'm not sure. I have to look at that.
This is one of those things.
Just clarifying question. Are you residential or commercial account?
Well, we have a home, and then the excess goes over to our shop.
Okay, so it may be that that's commercial. Let's get your information. We'll follow up with you on that question. It's fairly special.
So, more questions? Okay.
Actually, I have one question.
Yes.
Right now, I'm E6. That will not change when I roll into it.
Will change.
So, let's go to next steps. All right. So, here are the next steps. We're having another workshop like this in Woodland on August 1st. What will happen is we're going to take all of the information that we've heard today and distill it and analyze it. Staff is going to do some additional refinement on the concepts that that Jim discussed. The Community Advisory Committee is going to consider all the public input that we've heard and staff analysis and informing some recommendations. The CAC meetings are public. If you're getting the e-notification, you'll know when they are. The board is going to consider recommendations of the advisory committee and staff analysis in September at its meeting, and hopefully take action and reset the NEM policy. And a lot of it, this has been exceedingly helpful to get everybody's input here. Assuming they adopt a revised policy in September, the goal is starting in January of 2019 to begin enrolling existing NEM customers in at your true-up date over to BCE. So by the end of 2019, unless you opt out, we will have all the existing NEM customers and the BCE customers. But remember, if you install solar, if you're not a NEM customer, you install solar in September or November, you will automatically be a BCE NEM customer. You are already a BCE customer. So, is that clear? Any questions?
No, Lisa. Just going to... The next CAC meeting is going to be at the Senior Center here in Davis, and that is on Monday, July 30th, so it's coming up next week. And the time is 5:30, and then also the CAC typically meets about 10 days before a board meeting, and all of the agendas and meeting materials are posted on our website. So you can always refer to that and to see when the upcoming meetings are scheduled.
And what's the CAC? And this is
the Community Advisory Committee. Sorry, I'm so used to all the acronyms. Yes, all the acronyms. I apologize. The CAC meeting is the Community Advisory Committee, which Yvonne Hunter is a member of.
And if you want to, one quick second, if you want to be notified, either sign up on the little the sign-in, or over there is the website link. Jim is going to post all the PowerPoint slides on the solar page within a couple of days, I think.
I was going to wait until after the August 1st meeting to post the PowerPoint slides and the notes
and
for
the
both
notes
meetings.
For both meetings up there so you can keep track.
Yes. Question.
So you have to decide between doing the annual true-up thing or doing the monthly?
Typically, I think if it goes the way that we're proposing, and I'm getting a sense of general support here, I'm not really hearing a lot of people going, no, don't do that, you'd be defaulted to annual, but you can choose monthly.
All right. Thank you.
Behind you. Next question.
Hi. I think trying to put this into a big picture. So can I ask if the policy change that is being contemplated, is the intent of the policy change to make sure that no one is financially penalized for switching from PG&E to BCE, or is it to mitigate and reduce the number of people or the amounts that are being potentially considered?
I think it's the reason we are looking at changing it is, as we, I don't remember if you were here in the beginning, John, but it was pointed out that there would be some customers that would be financially impacted, and we don't negatively impact it, and they wouldn't recoup it. We want to avoid that.
100%.
Yeah.
That's the intent.
That is the intent. And again, the intent, let me repeat, is to be fair to the customer, to avoid negative financial impact to some existing customers, and to balance that with what is good public policy, administrative, and resource impacts on BCE. So we balance those two competing and hopefully not mutually exclusive goods. Anybody else? Yes.
If you want to go to VCE now, and you're an annual customer, is there someone who can, you can call the 800 number or get with Mitch or someone else on the staff to determine whether you're good, harm yourself financially or it's actually a good thing? Is there somebody around the SMED folks or anybody who can help people who want to go early? I mean, it seems to make sense to go ahead now for my wife and myself, but I'd like to make sure. And before we do that,
you know, we don't really have people in place to run those numbers. But you know, if you came by the office, I'd be happy to sit down with you with your bills. But
sure.
It would be, you know, my guess would be as good as yours. I mean, if you look back over the years and you could see what your bills were and how much you'd pay between, you know, now and the new policies went in place, that would be kind of a number that you'd have to figure out what was appropriate for you.
We haven't been up for a year yet. We'll be up for a year.
Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah, I can see why you might want to go on early.
So,
yeah, stay tuned. There might be an option for you.
Actually, you know, that is something that we will add to the mix. Is there a way to accommodate people that say, fine, I'll go monthly, and I want to join now?
Yeah. See, we're waiting.
There are costs, administrative costs, and we want to evaluate.
And the reason we moved to January is so that we would have time to adjust the billing system and make those, you know, back office changes that we need to as possible. They'll be done early, and we might be able to accommodate, you know, some of the customers that want to come in a little early. But I don't know that for sure. Yeah. Got business cards up here if people want to call.
Anything else? Last call. Thank you all for attending. We really appreciate it. And keep in touch through the website. Thank you.